court. Okay, so let me go back. Hold on a second. Let me go.
Rabbi Goldstein, why are you required to wear a mask if you're already vaccinated and there's distance between?
We're recording. Speaking present in the shul. Okay. Anyway, we're on daf Gimel tonight. Okay. So I'll begin on the bottom of Kafes Amud Beis 22B. Let's go back 1 second. 22B. Okay. So I'll begin a few lines from the bottom. So. I'll begin from Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, why was Sha'ul punished that he lost the Malucha? In other words, that the Malchus was taken away from him. Because he was too easy with his Kavod. Shenemar, Uvnei B'lial Amru Mayoshinu Zeh. Uvnei B'lial, the article translates like base people said, Mayoshinu Zeh, this is after Sha'ul was picked to be king. He said, what is he? What good is he? By Zuhu, they degraded him. They didn't bring a gift to him. By he Kamachrish, and he was silent. So they're like insulting him, and he was silent. And then it says, Uchiv, and afterwards it says, that Nachash Amoni, he's encircled the city of Yavesh Gilad, and he told them all that they're going to have to like take out their eye. So anyway, so Sha'ul summons an army and he defeats it and he's a big hero. And then Rashi brings down that they said afterwards that three lines to the bottom in Rashi, so everybody said, he said, well, where are those people who said, oh, how can Sha'ul be our king? He says, give them over to us and we'll kill them. He says, nobody should die today. So the Gemara ascribes that as like a wrongdoing on the part of Sha'ul, and there's a Gemara that says Hamelach Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Ein Kvodo Machul. If a king is mochel and his kavod is not forgiven. So let's take a look. Ba'amar Rabbi Yochanan Yishum Rabbi Shimon Yehoz Tzedak, and this fits in with this, and we'll have to be patient. And I'll pause when we get to the two dots, another 20 lines. Okay. So the Gemara says Ba'amar Rabbi Yochanan Yishum Rabbi Shimon Yehoz Tzedak, for Tamid Chacham. That any Talmid Chacham that doesn't take revenge, like the theme is revenge, Noter is like they said to hold a grudge. He's not a Talmid Chacham. He's just like a snake. So with the snake, it's so they quoted in the article, they quoted from the Targum Unklus on the Pasuk by the Nachash. It says, Ve'iva sheep in chav ve'in aisho ve'in zarao ve'in zarachah hu'yishuv charosh. That the Nachash will always hold enmity for mankind. So that's like when the Nachash. He says, so the Gemara says, but the Torah says, now you're not supposed to take revenge. You're not supposed to take vengeance. So how can you say that Sha'ul was wrong not to hold it against them? So the Gemara says, that admonition not to take revenge or to hold a grudge only relates to mamonot, like when somebody asks you to borrow something. So we'll see in a minute. He says, Tanya on the third line, Ezuhu Nakima, Ezuhu Natira. What's Nakima taking revenge? What's Natira holding a grudge? Nakima, Amar lo hashileni madholcha. So it means if Reuven says to Shimon, I want to borrow your sith, your magal is a sith. He says, Amar lo lab. So Shimon says to him, no, I don't want to lend it to you. The next day, Shimon says to Reuven, Shimon is the one who refused him to lend something to Reuven. The next day, Shimon says to Reuven, I want you to loan me your kardom. They said a hatchet, like in the Mishnah says, Pirkei Avot, lo kardom lachurba. It seems like a tool that you could dig with, you can cut with. So he says, Amarlo, eini ma'ashlatak, there shel hishaltani. He says, I'm not lending to you, just like you didn't want to lend me your magal. You don't want to lend me your sith the other day. I don't feel like lending you my kardom. He says, Zuhi Nakima. That's Nakima that the Torah prohibits. He says, Ezuhi Natira. What's Natira like holding a grudge? Amarlein, Hashileni kardom cha. He says, let's say Reuven says to Shimon, I want you to loan me your kardom, your we said like the hatchet or whatever, or he says, The next day he says to him, the other person says, loan me your shirt. So he says, Amar lo hela, any kmotana like you, so he shall tani. He says, in other words, I'm better than you. If you didn't want to lend to me, I'm a notch better than you. I'm going to loan it to you. He says, Zuhi Natira. That's Natira. So the Gemara says, again, let's go back. So the Gemara said, look, how the Gemara seems to, to ascribe criticism to Shaul that he didn't, in some way clamp down on these people who had criticized him, who had, showed him a lack of kavod. So the Gemara says, but doesn't the Torah say you shouldn't take Nakim, you shouldn't take Natira? So wouldn't that mean Nakim and Tira? So the Gemara says the admonition against Natira and Nakim and Natira, that's just by Dine Mamono. But if somebody, he strikes me with my body, or he insults me, then I'm allowed to take Natira and Natira. It sounds like he should do it. So that this is going to be, we'll wait till the end of the sugya and we'll try to be borrow this thing. So the Gemara says, Sara de Gupa lo, you mean if it's Sara on the Guf, if the person is like, impacting my body, then there's no prohibition. But Hatani, we learned the Braisha, and they're loving being an olden, that the people who are insulted and don't insult in return, they hear their disgrace and don't respond. Osin me avo, they serve Hashem like from Ava Hashem, usmeichim be yisurin. In other words, they're happy with the yisurim, with the insults. In other words, if they understand it's a din min shemayim, aleim aktuv omer vovav tzed Hashemish begurato. So concerning them, the pasuk says like the ones who love Hashem will be as bright as the sun begurato. And the article connected this to the Gemara Masechet Kulin about the Levana and the sun that Levana had a tine against the sun. He says, it's not appropriate. Two people can have share the crown. So we're both bright luminaries, so you should like reduce the sun. And the sun didn't say anything. Hashem said, you're right, may reduce you. So it means the moon got reduced and the sun remained in it with its brightness, with its radiance. So the Gemara says, now the difficulty is that from the Gemara, it sounds like this Braisa sounds like a Midas Chasidus. It sounds like Me'ikar Din, if it's Begufo, Tzara Begufo. Tzara Begufo means the person strikes me physically or he insults me. So I'm allowed to strike back. That's the way it sounds like from this Gemara. But it sounds like it's a Midas Chasidus, an aspect of piety not to. That's the way it sounds like from the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so a Talmid Chacham we assume is going to be on that high level of piety. So then he shouldn't respond. So how come Shaul, you're saying he should respond? In other words, even though he says Mina Chasidus, but Shaul, that's where he's holding. It should be Mina Chasidus. Just 1 minute, we'll do 3 lines and I'll close, okay? So the Gemara says, Olam Denachit Lebelibe. So it means, no, in Achinami, that the Talmid Chacham can hold it in his heart, and was hold the grudge in his heart. And if other people want to then take revenge, then it's okay. In other words, here by Shaul HaMelech, the Klal Yisrael, he wanted to avenge his disgrace or his insult, and he said, no, I don't want anything to happen to him. So he says that's the Gemara ascribes that criticism. So the Gemara says, Ba'ama Rava, Kolam Avir Mirotam Avir Noel Chukshav. But Rava said, if a person's Ma'avir Mirotav, meaning he's easygoing, he doesn't take revenge, then Hashem like forgives all of his averot. The mafais sulei mafais. That just means if the person asks you for mechila, you should be mochel him. But if he's not asking for mechila, it sounds like that he should take some vengeance. Okay, just 1 minute. Now, there's a lot to talk about with this Gemara. So let me talk for a few minutes, and then we'll take some questions. The first issue is that a lot of Rishonim say this is not the halacha. A lot of Rishonim say, so the Rambam and the Chinuch, they both say that a person should not hold anything in his heart against anybody. And the Chafetz Chaim brings this down in the Sefer, and he has a whole arichus about this. And he quotes from the Sefer HaChinuch, it sounds like that even if a person did a tzara haguf, even if the person you know, like insulted you, whatever, you should take it on the chin. That's what it sounds like. He says, this is from the Sefer Chinuch. He says, Al kein sheitzareu yachivu, if they cause him agita or they cause him pain, adam yidabet afshok himself garmulo. So person should know, this is the Sefer Chinuch, that his aveirot is what caused all this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who decreed that it should come out this way. And the person should say, you know, even though this person's acting like he's a terrible manuval and he's doing something disgraceful, but Sefer Chinuch says you should say that this is the gzera from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, Yeshit Mashablan told me, man, person shouldn't think I'm going to take vengeance from him or anything like that. Who knows Sibat Rato? He's not the cause of it, the person. The reason is his averot. Like David HaMelech, when he was fleeing his son Avshalom, so he says, so Shimi ben Gera came and cursed him. And one of David's, you know, officers said, do you want me to kill him? Or he says, no, leave him. He says, Panihu lo bikala, let him curse. He says, that's what Hashem told him. So that's clearly from the Sefer Achina. And from the Rambam, it also sounds that way. So the Mishnah Berurah says that, I'm looking for the line. Before he gets my Yaseb Gemara, he says, anyway, at one point he says it's like it seems like it's a sveika d'oraisa, so a person should go l'chumra and not take any vengeance. But the question is, yeah, here it is. He says, "Hayotzei midbarino." This is from the Be'er Mayim Chaim and the Sefer Chafetz Chaim on Lav Chet B'Ket. So he says, "Hayotzei midbarino in sirot sarad gufa machloket ben rishonim osar man tzorlin komi menu." He says it comes out of a person who's mitzar b'gufo. It's machloket rishonim whether you're allowed to take vengeance against him. Uspeka deraisa lechumra. A safek from the Torah is lechumra, so you shouldn't do it. So, but the only question is how does the Rambam and the Chinuch both say that you can't go? So how will they learn our Gemara? So the Stama, they'll learn the Gemara differently. They will learn. Let me go back. So they're going to learn that the Gemara is saying that. That in Achinami, it's not a mitzvah chasidut, hanelav min an olden. In other words, that's a mitzvah din. In other words, so mitzvah din, the Gemara is saying, not like we said before. The Gemara is saying that in Achinami, you shouldn't respond. You should take it on the chin. But if you're a Talmud Chacham, then, like the Rambam brings down, a Talmud Chacham, and if he's embarrassed publicly, then he has to, then if other people want to, you know, do something to even the score, that's like Kvoda Torah, that should be even. But otherwise not. Let me just make sure, and let me see again with the Rambam. One second, I'll open this up.
And where did the Melech fit into this?
Also, the same thing with the Melech. And it was like the Melech Shemachal Kvoda Wing Kvoda Machul. One second. Anyway, so you know what? There's a... Do you feel like getting me the Rambam? Can I get the Rambam? The first volume. Okay, so Yossi's going to get the Rambam, and then I'm going to read something to all of you, and then we'll open up for just a few minutes, and we'll see where we go. All right, one second. Thanks so much. Thank you. Oh, I wanted the unfancy one. One second. Okay, one second. All right, well, I'll try to manage with this. No, I need this. Let's see. Where I said, okay, one second. All right, we'll manage. Okay, so he says, so this is the end of Hilchos Talmud Torah. So the Rambam says, if they disgrace him privately, if somebody embarrassed him publicly, he can't be mochel on his kavod. The imachal, and if he, look who's here. Oh, we have a special visitor. Can you come in for one second? We have David Habers here, our former Dafyomi person.
Oh, Dave.
I think your neighbor, Fern, wants to say hello to you. Yeah. Anyway, so nice to have you, David. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Yeah.
You know, hi, David. I'm on the Zoom.
Okay, you're being recorded okay. on Zoom. Okay.
First time.
Great to see you. Nice to see you, David. Be Maslia. All right. Anyway, thank you for dropping by. All right. Anyway, so the Gemara says, the Rambam says, about Tamil Chacham should be Zuchir po Adam Parhesia, if you publicly sold the whole photo, the Machal Menash, which is the Bizayan of Torah. Elenokim and Oter had the Barkanachash, Hachbekishon Machil of Islata. Like, you take efforts. All right, let me just do a few more pieces from the Alada, and then we'll take some questions, okay? Now, so obviously the difficulty is what the Gemara is saying here. Like it sounded like you were in your rights, like take vengeance. So the Sfasemis wonders how to reconcile this Gemara with the famous episode regarding Hillel's humility and patience. The Gemara in Shabbos, if you remember, I think it was around Daf Lamed Gimel or somewhere in that vicinity. The Gemara relates how a man tried to excite and anger Hillel but failed. It is apparent from that incident as praiseworthy for a Talmid Chacham to ignore any insults directed at him and to forgive even before being appeased. Sfas Emes answers that the Gemara in Kiddushin and Lamed Beis cites the dispute whether a Talmid Chacham shaval kvodo b'kvodo machul. If a Talmid Chacham is willing to like waive his kavod, does he have power to waive it to forego his honor? Sfas Emes suggests that our Gemara follows the opinion that Talmid Chacham, like a king, is not empowered to forego his honor. Whereas the Gemara in Shabbos is of the opinion that a Talmid Chacham is empowered to forego his honor. Therefore, the Gemara there assumes that it's praiseworthy to forgive and forget, even without being asked forgiveness. Now, the Rambam does not seem to concur with the Sfas Emes' approach, because despite ruling that a Talmid Chacham may forego his honor, Rambam codifies our Gemara and rules that a Talmid Chacham is obligated to protect his honor. We just read that from the Rambam. So the Rambam, however, distinguishes between an indignity that occurred in public and one committed in private. If a Talmid Chacham was insulted in private, and he should forgive and forget. That would be the case like with Hillel. He says, our Gemara, which says Talmid Chacham should protect his honor, referring to a case in which he was insulted publicly. In such a case, he's obligated to uphold the honor of the Torah, which he embodies. Alternatively, the Rivash draws the distinction between a lack of proper kavod and outright bizayon. In other words, the person doesn't show kavod, but another where he's like affirmatively like being mavaz to you. Like he says, he asserts the Gemara in Kiddushin permits the Talmid Chacham for his honor, to excuse people from their obligation to rise in his presence, but he may not allow people to humiliate him. Rivad draws a distinction between another answer. He says, Rivad draws a distinction between ordinary matters and spiritual matters. If the insults are related to personal matters, the Talmid Chacham's verse should forgive and forget. However, if the insults are related to spiritual matters, an outright forgiveness is deemed misplaced humility. Okay, now we have time for questions. Anyway, the long and short of it is that the way the Chafetz Chaim brings it down, and he brings down from the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch that a person should try to, like, you know, but he does say, I should add one thing. The Chafetz Chaim does say, there's one more thing the Chafetz Chaim says. So the Chafetz Chaim says, at time when a person's being insulted, so then he's allowed to respond. That's what he says. Let me see where he has the line. He says, Rak b'shat ma'isim mutar la'ashiva thirufim min ad-din. Shas Maisa, you're allowed to respond. He says, "Rock Bishum Mitzvah will be the Tov Ba'al and ruin their love." In other words, there, that's the case. Like the Midas Chasidus is to be quiet, but you know, Chinam and Yitzchak didn't need to respond. And he says, "Usfar Nakonehi, Debeit Maisa Chirup, Yishur B'Tem Adam Leot Ke'Even, Shein LaHovchin." It was like, you can't be like a dead stone. A person's like saying all these insulting things and not say anything in response. But if you could, then you're like tzaddik. But otherwise, not okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we support? First, you're safe, then I'll take everybody else. Wait. Yeah, but in other words, he says, but it means the Gemara takes it, but that's it. In other words, we're not doing anything for him. Well, again, so it depends how you want to flip this over. And Minchas Chinuch discussed this case. You see, on the one hand, David HaMelech, doesn't he have a din of a Melech? Melech can't be both on his kavod. So if that's the case, then how is he saying, like, he tells the Kalel? So it could be that either David did not have a din of Melech because he was deposed at that point in time, or he did have a din of a Melech, but he's just saying, like, in general, that should be Derech. But in Achinami, he does as a malach, he has a right and a duty to respond, because he's malach malchal kvod and kvod malchul, and he did respond later on and took care of it. You could say like that. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts from over here?
Yes, a couple things.
What's up, Aaron Moshe?
Well, I remember reading somewhere that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was contemplating why something happened to him, and then he realized that somebody insulted a tzaddik.
Right.
And
he
didn't say anything. That's number one. Yeah. Number two, I remember reading where Reb Chaim Kanievsky once told somebody.
Yeah. The way I remember that case is, I think the Baal Shem Tov, I think, saw Chil Shabbos taking place. So the idea is that, like, if you see something, it means you have that Aveira. So he connected, he says in the Zohar, Talmud Chacham is called Shabbos.
Yes.
He connected to the fact that he had heard somebody being Mevazah, Talmud Chacham, and that's why the Menachem Shemaim, that he was seeing the Chil Shabbos. Okay, what's the next point?
The other point is that I saw someone's in a Sefer that Reb Chaim Kanievsky had told someone that they wanted to have children. So he told them the only way you could have children is if you go to this person, if you see somebody that was Mavaza someone, the other person didn't answer back, go get a bracha from that person right away or something like that.
The one that was insulted, the person that suffered the insult, to get a bracha from them.
Get a bracha from them right away.
All right.
And the third point I wanted to make, when you were talking about taking revenge, I remember Rivkus told something to Yaakov that he'll know that Esav, you can come back, that Esav lost his hate for you. I forgot the exact pasuk over there. See if you remember the pasuk over there. So so the question is, how is Yaakov going to know? Is Esav going to send him a love letter? So the idea is that the similar hearts are like a spiegel in the vase. In other words, when Yaakov will stop being angry at Esav for doing a virus, whatever he did, he'll know at that point that Esav.
I think you're talking about the sukkah, is that Rivka says to Yaakov, I'm telling you, sending you to Laban, out of shir teshuvah achicha, so your brother's anger
sits
from him. And then it says, I'll send to you. So you're saying that when Yaakov loses his enmity for Esav, Esav loses his enmity for him. Okay, I got to keep moving. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let me keep moving because we have limited time. Nice to have everybody here, by the way. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're at the two dots, all right? So the Gemara says, Umayin motzi and achad ushtayim v'chuli. So we said that they would have a lottery. Everybody needs to mute themselves. Everybody mute themselves. Let me help everybody along with that. Not here. Let me get this down. One second. Okay. Everybody's muted now. All right. So the Gemara says, so he said that they would do a lottery in the Beis HaMikdash. Let me say this out, then we'll do it inside. So the lottery that they establish is all the Kohanim of the Beit Av, they gather around. The way Rashi learns, I meant to look up the Rambam. The Rambam has a different derech, but the way Rashi learns, they all gather around, they stick out one or two fingers, but when they stick out one finger or two fingers, they count as one. And then the person thinks of a large number, he begins counting, and when he ends the number, that's the person who gets the wins the pious. Okay? So the Gemara says, they would stick out one or two fingers. The Gemara says, if they can stick out two fingers, they can certainly stick out one finger. So Amar of Chisdalot Pasha, Kan Vibari, Kan Vichola. When it says one finger, if he's a healthy coin, he sticks out one finger. If he's a thick coin, not. So Rashi says that some konim, and I don't know, we don't have, maybe the doctors will fill me in. Michael, I don't know if he's here tonight. I don't think so. But it's difficult for them to extend their fingers. They can't sting out one finger. They have to extend two. The movement is difficult. He says, Bahatani, the Gemara here says, Bahatani is not a question. It's a proof here. Bahatani, Achat Motzian, that they would extend one finger, not two fingers. That's if it's a healthy kohen. If he's a sick kohen, then even he could extend two fingers, but it's hard for him to do one finger. So Rashi learns, are yechidim, are kohenim who are somewhat sick, but they're separated from everybody. They could extend two fingers, and we only count them as one. Ve'imonim lo elachat, we only count as one. V'hatanya, we learn in the Braisa, emotzin lo shlish, that they shouldn't extend their middle finger. He says, below godel, or their thumb, the Bnei Avramoim, because of the tricksters. The trickster is really more for the thumb, the motzi shalish. But if they did extend the middle finger, moaning low, godel. So the Gemara says moaning low. Says so godel in moaning low. He says below od el shaloka, amina mamuna bepakia. So he says if they extend the middle finger, that we would count, but the thumb we wouldn't count. And not only that, he gets malkot. He gets whipped, amina mamuna bepakia. So it says, so we think moaning low means we think that we would count. When it says moaning low, then when it says in potzi shlish moaning low, we think it's we're counting it like more than one finger. It says by moaning low na miyata, we count it as one. So again, so the thing that the Bryce is saying, sticking out the thumb is very bad. The Gemara is going to explain the thumb. If in other words, we don't want people to game the system, and we have all the kohen are huddled close together. So if I stick out a thumb, and let's say you stick out a thumb and an index finger, so it's easier for the person to think it's two different people, and they can count like two people. In other words, I want them, you know, I don't know, maybe there's another 20 to go, and I have a cheshbon, if I do two, I'll win the lottery. So if a person sticks out a thumb, he's violating the rules, and we throw him out. So the Gemara says, my pakia, what does it mean, pakia? We said that we'll give him malkot minamua pakia. Amarav midra. Rav says it means midra. My midra, what's midra? Amra Papa Matarka the Tayoi Pasik Reshe. It means the whip that the Arabs use, which is like it's one whip for their horses, but then it splits out at the end. It's multiple whips. So he says, Amra Abaye says, Mereshav Amina. Initially I said, Hadidnan, that was what we learned the Mishnah Masechet Shkalim, then Babai Mun al Pakia. Then Babai was appointed over the Pakia. He says, Amina Patilta. So I thought that meant over the wicks for the menorah. Is it non, like we learned in the Mishnah, he says, Mi belay machtesei akonim en yanihen, mehena yumachin, venim malikin. He says, from the worn-out pants of the Kohen and from their belts, they would like split them apart and make wicks. So I thought, and mafkian means to split them apart, to tear them apart. So it said, the Mishnah says, Ben Babai is mun ala pakia. I thought he's in charge of the wicks, like mafkian. He says, came to Shema Lahadatanya, the Lord of Shalokim and Amunah Pakia. But once I heard this brisa that the person who sticks out the thumb gets whipped from the person who's Mamuna al Hapakia, Amina Mai Pakia Nagda. I said, oh, what is Pakia? It means the whips. So it means, so when Ben Bavai, the Mishnah says Ben Bavai is Mun al Pakia, means he's in charge of the whip. So that's the way he understood it. Okay, so basically, the Gemara was saying that they would have this pious, and pious little Kohen would gather around like a huddle, like for a football game. Everybody sticks out a finger or two fingers, but each person, the way Rashi learns, counts as one, but no matter how many fingers he sticks out. But if he sticks out the thumb, he gets thrown out, can't participate in the lottery, because we think he's trying to cheat the system, make it look like two people, because he figures that the numbers will work out better that way for him. Okay, who's good questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Okay, what's up? We'll say again, what? Oh, we said that they were the Rashi's, they're sick. In other words, Rashi says, where is it? Actually, someone to say Yechidim means that, if you look at Rashi, the second narrow line, Yechidim, Becholin, Shenu, Yoshim, Shar, Ben Adam. They're sick, but they're not hanging out with other people. El Shokhin, Oshun, Adam, sitting by themselves. That's the way Rashi learns. No, they're not a Baal Mom, they're just sick. But I did see a pshat that they want to say that Yechidim is like maybe Talmid Chachamim or something like that. He's like singular or whatever. But all right, but that's all I have. Okay, let's take a look. Well, there's a little bit more, but I want to go on. Okay, the last narrow line. Okay, Masa Shushim Shavit Ratzim Va'olim B'Tevesh. So we mentioned in the Mishnah there was an incident with two Kohanim who were running up the ramp, because initially the first person to show up at Trumas Deshen gets Trumas Deshen, and if he gets within Dalet Amod, you know, of the top of the ramp, he wins the competition. So then there was an incident with two Kohanim that were running up the ramp, and one Kohen pushed the other one off, and he broke his leg. So the Gemara says, "Masav shu shnei shavim ratziv olim b'kevesh." Tana Rabbanan, we learned the Baraisa, "Masav shnei kohenim shu shnei shavim ratziv olim b'kevesh." So it's an incident, a close race between two Kohanim. He says, "Kadam echad mehem l'tov arba amon shel chaveiro." So the way the art school explained it is like one Kohen, we'll call him Reuven, he's about to cross over the finish line with the Arba Amot, we said, in the top of the ramp. The Tal Sakin, the Takalu Belibo. So the other one took a knife and stabbed him in his heart. Does not sound like a good commentary. He says, Amad Rabbi Tzadok Omala Ra'ulam. So Rabbi Tzadok stood on the steps of the Ulam. You know, the Gemara in Gittin says that Rabbi Tzadok is the one who fasted for 40 years. I think that Yerushalayim should be destroyed. So the Gemara says, he says, Va'amar, Achinu Beit Yisrael Shimu. He says, our brothers, the house of Israel, listen to it. At the end of Parshat Shoftim, it mentions there's a mitzvah of Egla Rufa. Somebody dies and his body's found between two cities, and it's and you measure to the nearest city, and the Zakenim from that city go and they bring this calf, and the Torah describes a mitzvah where and you decapitate the calf and it brings you kapara, atonement. So he says, Anu amilavi egla rufa. So who should bring the egla rufa here? Should the people in Yerushalayim bring it? Well, as the road to just the Konim, whose domain is as the road, they bring it. And the Gemara is going to sing, there's no Egla Rufi here because it's not an unknown killer, but we'll see in a minute. It says, Gaul Kulam Beluchi, everybody groaned and crying. Babim Shal Tinok, the father of this Kohen who had been stabbed, it's strange that he calls him a Tinok, he says, came, Umitzaok Shumapar, he saw that his son was writhing, and his son was still alive. Amar, Harehu Kaparachem. He says that my son's death will be your kapara, but I see my son is still alive. The sakin isn't tame. Somebody should remove the sakin before he dies, in which case the sakin will become tame. Let's act quickly. It seems that it's so very strange, obviously, right? And that teaches you that the people in that generation, they were more concerned with the tumah for the kalim than somebody dying, than murder, than shvichus damim. The chen omer, and the simile says in pasuk in Malachim Beis, v'gam dam naki shapach menashe arbei mod, asher milei Yerushalayim telepeh. So it's saying that Menashe is the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, this incident is the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. We want to say people became inured to murder, and so it didn't faze them so much. And so nobody was that, all upset about a murder taking place, but they were upset about, a knife becoming tavon. So, okay, so that's the braisa. Now, if you remember, we learned in the first mishnah there was that incident with the two kohanim running up, and after that incident, they changed it to a pious. And here we have this incident with one kohen stabbing the other kohen. So the Gemara says, "Hemas the kadim." So, in the chronology of events, which event occurred first? Hilema the shrifa damim. If we say this incident with the murder took place first. So if they didn't set up a lottery after one coin, stabs and murders another coin, he says, does it make sense that when somebody breaks a leg, so they would establish a pious? Ella Dinishpur Raghul got him. He says, rather, the incident with the breaking leg came first. So came in the Kina Piasa, Arbama Mavidotai. But if that's the case, then why would they race? In other words, once the first incident takes place, they have a lottery. So then why would there be a race anymore to get within the Dalet Amot? There wouldn't be a race like that, as described in the Brayos we just did now. So the Gemara says, Eliolam, the Shvichat Damim Kadim. The Gemara says, no. This incident that we read on our daf today, that was the earlier incident when somebody murdered somebody. They thought, this is like a yotzei dofen. This is like a once in a yobel, or this never happens. It's just one strange incident. We're not going to make a whole to kind of change our whole protocol over. So one lunatic or one person went crazy and then stabbed somebody. Came in the chazi afilu memela atz de sakana. Once they saw the Reila Kohen, they're running up and persons shoving each other off. It's not just one event. It's in the course of things. So they created the pious. So now the Gemara analyzes the Bryce, and I'll pause in a few minutes. So the Gemara now is quoting from the Bryce that we just read a few moments ago. Rabbi Tzadok stood on the steps of the Ulam, and the Ulam, again, this incident took place on the ramp to the Mizbeach, and the ramp to the Mizbeach is in the open area of the base of Mikdash, and a number of feet away, you have the entranceway to the Ulam. To the Ulam leads into the Kodesh, and then from there the Kodesh Kadashim. So he stood on the steps of the Ulam. He says, "Va'amar Athena by Yisrael Shemu, Hari Omer Kimatzikala Ba Adamai. So he starts talking about the Egla Rufa. So who's going to bring the Egla Rufa now, is what he says. So Anan Amilavi, Alayir Olazarot. So the Gemara says, Yerushalayim Ba'adati Egla Rufi. Is Yerushalayim, can Yerushalayim ever be a place where Egla Rufa is brought? He says, Vahatani, we learn the Braisa, Asavram Nimru Yerushalayim. There were 10 halachot that we would say concerning Yerushalayim, like Yerushalayim can't be any or any dakhan. And Yerushalayim can't have nigei batim. And one of the halachot is Yerushalayim can never bring an egla rufa. Zuachat mihen, top line on Amud Beis, ain't it via egla rufa? And Rashi, the top line, Rashi on Chafkin Amud Beis, says, I think you might say kalab adama v'gomer the rishtah. So the pasuk says, if you find somebody dead in the land that Hashem has given you to inherit, the Yerushalayim Yerushalayim sabr lo nechakal shvatim. So the machloket in the Gemara, whether Yerushalayim was at Chalkal Shvatim or not. Was Yerushalayim divided between the Shvatim? Or was Yerushalayim not like an international city, but an intershevet city, and nobody owns Yerushalayim? Everybody's got like equal. So this kind of the Braisa holds that Yerushalayim was for everybody, so there's no din of Egla Rufa. He says, so why is Reb Tzadok talking about Egla Rufa? But on the top line, lo no dami hikaukiv. It says in the Torah, you don't know who the murderer is. And the other rufa, no dami hikau. Here we know who did the murder. He says, elak bilarabachia. He just referred to that. So the way that I think the Marsha says, like it's saying that we had a garufa, terrible thing has been occurred, but you have kapara. We're able to bring this calf, and calf will affect kapara. Now this took place. We have no way to get kapara. So that increases bachia. Everybody's crying with it. All right, let me just do another 6 or 8 lines, and then I will pause. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Babi Shaltina Kamatzokshu Mufarper." The Gemara says, "The father of this young man that got stabbed came, and he saw his son. His son is like writhing in pain." So Amar Haruki Kaparatem Vadaim Benikayam Chulei Ametzat Shelim Taratil Yoter Mishvita Damim. So the Gemara says it teaches you that they were more concerned about a keli becoming tame than somebody dying or murder or things like that. So Ibailhum, Shvichadamim who dissolve all Tarakilim to the Kaima Kaima, Dilma, Shvichadamim to the Kaima Kaima, all Tarakilim he the Kamira. Means, where did they go wrong? In other words, in terms of their value system, what was off kilter? In other words, was it choice one? He says, Shvichadamim who dissolve. Is it that Shvichadamim, that they lost their sensitivity for Shvichadamim? But their standards concerning Tuma, that was normal standards, but their sensitive Shvichas Damim went out the door. Is that it? He says, O Dilma, Shvichas Damim to the Kaima Kaima. Maybe their tolerance for murder, that was a normal tolerance. Aval Tara Kalim with the Chamira, but their sensitivity for Tumas Kalim was like shot through the roof. So the Gemara says, Tashma, because Nasibla Talmud of Gam Dam Nakisha Bachman Asher, says the Braisa quotes the pasuk by Menashe. Menashe was an evil king. He was the son of Chizkiah, who was a very good king, and he murdered all these people in Yerushalayim. Shma Menashe Bichutamim who dissolved the Tarikim with the Kaima Kaima. So it teaches us they became, you know, habituated or desensitized concerning murder. Even though that pasuk was in Bayit Rishon, but carried through to Bayit Sheni, they were desensitized to murder. But their sensitivity concerning Tuma remained where it was. But it just shows, you know, with people, you know, with everyone really, you know, sometimes, you know, like a person can, you know, in one area in halacha can be very careful, and then another area like not so careful. It's really a Musar Haskell for all of us. All right, who's your question comes to us? So Yosef's got a question, and we'll see what we got. What do you got? Right. So the supplements. Yeah, so that's how desensitized they were. They're like, even the father doesn't care. It's just like, you know, par for the case, you know. It just makes the question that the values even, you know, more pronounced. Even fathers don't, they take it, you know. It's like the Havdil, somebody, you know, has like a small accident with the car, and no big deal. that's it, you know. That's it. These things happen. I don't know what to say. Anyway, okay, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, Yosef was asking how a father could, you know, be desensitized for his son's death. I said that's the raya from the Gemara. All right, so let's see further. I'm going to go further in the Gemara, and then we'll go into the kill. Okay, all right, everybody here. All right, let's see where we got. All right. All right, so we're up to 10 Rabbanim. We're around 10 lines down on Chaf Gimel Beis, 23b, around 10 lines down. Okay. You know what? I'm trying to bother you. So Thomas is exactly right. So at the beginning in Parshat Tzav, it mentions there's two mitzvahs. One is Truma Nadeshen that we spoke about, that every morning or at the end of the night, we go and take a shovel full of ash and put it near the ramp. And the other mitzvah is, thank you so much. Thank you. And the other mitzvah is Hotzad Adeshen. Hotzad Adeshen is where every couple of weeks, with so many ashes on top of the Mizbeach, so a Kohen would have to come and clear them all out, because we can't bring Korbanah. We've got so much ash here from all the Korbanah. So let's look at the beginning of Parshat Tzav. If you have a Chumash at home, it helps. If not, you just listen. Yeah, page 568, Yosef says. So it says, okay, in the Pasuk Yemel, or the fourth line, Levasha Kohen Midobad, the coin will wear his tunic and his pants. The Rimanadeshan is Trumanadeshan. He'll do Trumanadeshan. I should call it Ishid Ha'olah. He'll put that in his bath. Then the Torah says, Ufashara Begadav, he'll take off his garment. He'll put on a different garment. He'll do Hotzara Deshan. Okay? Now again, Trumanadeshan is every day. Hotzad Adeshin once every couple of weeks. Okay? So let's get back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanrabana Pashat Labash, Begadim Achirim, Bozid Adeshin, Shemani, Derek Yom Kippurim, Shaposhe Begdei Kodesh, Belovesh Begdei Chol. So if you compare it, there's a mitzvah. Where do we see Pashat Begadav? By the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur in Parshat Achrimot. There, he takes off the Begdei Zahav, the eight Begadim, and he puts on the four Begadim. Of Big Day Bad, but he does like a change, and there was a different getter. Now, by Kohen Hedyot, is never going to wear the eight begadim of Kohen Gadol. So, with this Pashat Begadav, we figure it's like a big change. He's going to wear, we would think, left to our own devices, that'll put on his weekday garments. In other words, not the Big Day Kuhuna. Talmud Lomar Upashat Begadav Lavash Begadim Acherim. So it says. In other words, it repeats the begadim. The second begadim is superfluous. It could say pashad begadav lavash achirim, but it says lavash begadim achirim. Makish begadim shlovesh, the begadim shaposhet. The Torah here is comparing the garments that he's wearing to the garments that he took off. Malahalan big day kodesh, just like the ones that he took off were big day kodesh. He says afkan big day kodesh. So the Torah, the way the Gemara understands it, that he wears the Big Day Kahuna even when he's doing Hotzad Adeshin. Im kein matam lomar acherim. So then why does the Torah say Bigadim acherim? Like, in other words, Lavash acherim. Lavash Bigadim. Like, what's acherim? So he says, Pachutimihen, inferior. So Rashi says they're more worn out, or they're like less, not as shiny, whatever. But not the tip top begadim. Reb Lezer Omer Acherim v'hotzi limed al koni balimun shekirim lohotzi adeshin. Reb Lezer says no. When it says Acherim, it's teaching me that, in other words, Acherim v'hotzi, that even other konim who not ruit to avod on the base of mikdash, they could do hotzad adeshin. If they're a konim were balimumim, they could do hotzad adeshin. So we have machlok in the brisa on who does hotzad adeshin. According to Tanakama, Hotzad Adeshin is regular Kohen. And according to the Tanakhama, they're both Avodot. According to the Tanakhama, you have to wear the Big Day Kuna for both of them. It's just that the second one is not as nice, Begadim. But according to the second Tana, Reb Lezer, it doesn't seem like it's an Avoda because the Kohen Baal Mum is doing it. And so it's Machloket, whether Baal Mum can do the Avoda. This, it's not really an Avoda, whether he can do it or not. So now, Amamar Acherim Pechutimihen. So we said before in the Brisa that the Acherim, according to the Tanakhama, means like less valuable, not as important. He the Tanah to be Rabbi Shmuel. Like we learn in Brisa when they said Rabbi Shmuel, Tanah to be Rabbi Shmuel, but Gadam Shibishvel and Kedir Rabo, Loimsim Kos the Rabo. That the garments that a person cooks with for his master, he doesn't like serve a cup of wine or dilute a cup of wine. So the same way, Kohen, he's been, according to the Tanakhama, he's the Shamis of the base of Mikdash, but the garments that he takes out the Deshen with, He wears nicer garments when he does the avoda in the base of Mikdash. That's according to the Tana Kama. Okay. Yeah, okay, let's do a very quick question. Yes. Correct. Yeah, so it just mentioned that by the Kohen Gadol, where do we see the change of clothing? Upashat begadav. You see by Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So you just goes to eight, the four to the eight. So there he makes like a big change in his clothes. So by Kohen Hedyot, what's the big change? He can't wear eight begadim. The only thing he could do is take off the clothes and wear big hole. That would be a big change. But then the Gemara rejects that and says, no, okay. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amarish Lakish Machloket Bahutsa, Kach Machloket Baharama. Rishaki says, just like we saw, there was Machloket between the Tanakama and Reb Lezer, and the Tanakama, do we see who the Tanakama was? Yeah, okay, so between the Tanakama and Reb Lezer about the Hotzada Deshen, he says, is also Machloket by Truma Sedeshen. In other words, according to Rish Lakish, that Reb Lezer holds, that even a Kohen Baal Mum can do Truma Sedeshen. And he says, Reb Yochanan Amar, Machloket Hotza, V'lo Rama Debrei Kol Avodahi. Reb Yochanan says, the Machloket is by Hotza, but by Harama, everybody holds an Avodah. So, point to Reb Yochanan, everybody agrees by Truma Sedeshen, it has to be a regular Kohen. By Truma Sedeshen, it has to be for Begadim, according to everybody, according to Reb Yochanan. But this Machloket by Hotza Sedeshen. And one side holds, doesn't have to be, it could be Kohen Baal Mum, and he doesn't necessarily have to wear the four begadim, and because he's a Kohen Baal Mum. So, but it's machloket about that. He says, so, but according to Reish Lakish, it's machloket across the board. Fern, you have a question?
Yes, when you say that a Kohen Baal Mum can do the truma, the taking out,
right.
Does that mean that it's not in that person's view an avoda?
That's correct.
Okay, so they're
all right,
defining.
I'm running out of time, so please excuse me. Just wait, and if I have time at the end, I'll try to come to you. Okay. So the Gemara says, "My time with Reish Lakish. What's the reason for Reish Lakish, who says that neither one is the machloket about both of them? So Amar Lach, Isat Tadaytak Avodahi. If you would think that Truma Sedeshen is an avoda, Ishta Avodah Shekir B'Shnei Kelim. So if you look in the Torah." Torah only mentioned that he'll wear two garments. The Torah said he'll wear mido bad or mechnasay bad. There's four begadim for Kohen Hedyot. It only mentions that he'll wear the ketonet and the mechnasayim. So the fact that it says two kalim means it's not an avoda. He says Rabbi Yochanan holds Gali Rachman Toda mechnasayim. So Rabbi Yochanan says the Torah mentions those two garments. Who would then the mesnefet bavnei? The Torah wants me to understand that I need all four garments, but mentions just two. But it means you all four. So why does the Torah mention these two, Bechlal? So Mido Bad, Mido Kimidato. So it refers to the ketonet. Ketonet is the tunic, that it has to be measured to each Kohen, the right measurement. He says that it can't be too long, can't be too short. Mithasay Bad is the myth of the Tani. I mean, actually, the Bar Kotel Mithasayim, it means that the Mithasayim of the Big Day Kahuna, the first item of Big Day Kahuna that the Kohen puts on should be the pants. So it doesn't mean he's got to be stark naked and put some mitzvahim on, but the mitzvahim should be up as a row. Those are the first one on his flesh. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan takes it. Reish Lakish, Mido, Midato. Now again, Reish Lakish learned that mentioned those two garments to teach me that it's not an avoda. So doesn't, but Reish Lakish also holds from the lima that Rabbi Yochanan has. So how does he learn it out? Reish Lakish, Mido, Midato, Midafki Rechman Lashon Mido. So in other words, the Torah normally would say ketonet. So in Akinami, Reish Lakish says, it says midobad, he says, bavash koi midobad, umechsei badi yubash basura. So Reish Lakish says, it mentions two begadim. In Akinami, there was only two he has to wear. But from the fact that the Torah used an atypical term, usually used ketonet, here it uses mido, so mido means that it should be kemidato, right, mido. So he's learning, he's doubling over it. He says, "Shloihidavar kolmet nasayim me'al b'saro nafgam." And then the other limud, it says, it mentions b'nasayim, but it says u'mechaseivad yabash al b'saro. In Akinami, he mentions al b'saro. So Reish Lakish will also learn those limud as well. Okay, so again, we had machloket tanayim that relates at least to the hotzada deshen, But Reish Lakish says that it's also by Truma Sedeshin. So Reish Lakish holds that the machloket, according to the Tana Reb Lezer, is that you don't need a coin for Truma Sedeshin or for Hotzad Edeshin, according to one Tana. And according to Yochanan, no. Everybody agrees that Truma Sedeshin, I need a coin, I need four begadim, and the only machloket is by Hotzad Edeshin. So the Gemara says, Neima Kitanoi, should I say that this machloket between Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish, it tracks a machloket Tanoim? And here's we're going to listen to a brisa, and from there we'll try to trace it out. It says al b'saro. So it says mitzvah body bash al b'saro. Ma tamalomar gilbash. In other words, the word gilbash is superfluous because it could just say it says lavash kumi gilbad mukhtasivad al b'saro. It has one verb, you know, lavash. Right? That one verb could cover both the tunic and the pants. He says ma tamalomar gilbash. Lavi mitznefet b'avnei laharama divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Tan Rabbi Yehuda, that extra term Yilbash is going to create a Gzeira Shava. It says by the Avod on Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol will Vilabash, what's the pasuk by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? He says. Anyway, it says the word Labash by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So he learns the Gzeira Shava that just like over there, he's wearing four big day bad, so too here as well. He says, Rabbi Dosa Omer, Rabot Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim, Shekherim L'Kohen Hedyot. Rabbi Dosa says, no, if teach me, the reason mentions the word Yilbash, that's to teach me that the garments that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, the big day bad, a Kohen Hedyot to wear them during the year. All right, let's go slowly with this. Let's go slowly. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word Gilbash is teaching me that he's going to wear all the four garments. So he's wearing all the four garments. That sounds like Rabbi Yochanan. That you need all four garments, and it sounds for everything. And according to the other one, no, it's not that you need all four garments. It's just teaching me another halakha that the garments that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur are kosher for a Kohen Hedyot during the year. That's what we think. Which part about the garments? Yeah, the last halakha is for everything. It means that the garments the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, the big day abad, the linen garments, a Kohen Hedyot can wear them during the year. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you need four garments. It means for the Truma, right, and the Hotzad Edeshin. Okay, I think and the Hotzad as well. Let's take a look. So I'm a Rebbe, teach with the Dabar. So I got to run now. So Rebbe says I have two responses to this. Chara, the Avodah Toshel Kohen Gadol is the Avodah Toshel Kohen Hedyot. There was he slugging up the last opinion of Rabbi Dosa. He says it can't be that a Kohen Hedyot will wear the Big Day Abad because the belt is different. There was the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur wears a linen belt, and the Kohen Hedyot wears a chatney's belt. There's a machloket about that, but that's what he takes it. But Od, Begadim Shishtamashta behind the Kedusha Chamura, Shishtamash behind the Kedusha Kala, does it make sense that the same garments that we use for such a holy day would be used like on a lesser kedusha? Elamat tamalom yilbash. So what does the term yilbash come to teach me? The rabot and hashtakim. It's to teach me that that a kohen is allowed to wear worn out garments. You can wear worn out garments provided they're not ripped. Okay, now he quotes Braitha with just to clean up, and then we'll come to our main point. He says, "Behini tam sham." The Braisa says, "After the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, he'll take off the garments and leave it there." Lamei shetun in geniza. That in other words, once he's done with the garments on Yom Kippur, the linen garments he leaves there for geniza. Rabbi Dosa Omer. Rabbi Dosa is the one who said that the Kohen could reuse them. Rabbi Dosa Omer ruin him the Kohen Hedyot. He says, "No, a Kohen Hedyot could use those garments." So Yishtamish ben Yom Kippur Mecher said he can't use it for a different Yom Kippur, but he'll leave it there. He's not going to use it again. He did it, but really Kohen could use it. So the Gemara says, "My labahat mitlagi." Is it not? Now we had a machlok between the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa, and we said the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said that that you need all four. I'm looking for where is it, the brisa here. Yeah, he says Yilbash, right. Yilbash teaches me he's got all four garments. And the other one learned that Yilbash is just teaching me that the garments of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur are good for Kohen Hedyot. My love, Kimfli, the Marsavar Avodahi. Is it not that Rabbi Yehuda holds it is an Avoda and these four garments? The Marsavar Lab Avodahi, whereas Rabbi Dosa holds it's not an Avoda and doesn't need four garments. Lo, the Kuliam Avodahi. No, they could both hold it's an Avoda. They both hold it needs four garments. Bahakaba Kimifligi, Marsavar Sri Kral Rabuye, one holds that that I need a pasuk. L'rabuye, Marsvar lo tzricha l'rabuye mikroy. So Rabbi Yehuda holds you need a pasuk. Teach me that the Avnei and Mitznefet are included in the garment that he needs to wear for it. In other words, one holds I need a pasuk to teach me he needs all four garments. And Rabbi Dosa holds I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. But in Achinami, they all hold that he would wear all four garments. In other words, the Torah only mentions two garments. So one says I need a leave, especially leave to teach that all four garments are included. The other one says no. In Achinami, I know that he holds once it mentions two garments, I know it's all four garments. But in Achinami, they both hold that he it's only going to do it, and he needs all four garments. Okay, I got to call it a date this week. What? Is that what it says over there? Okay. Yosef says it's just from Mr. Deshin. Okay, that's going to be it for tonight. A seis kam shalom to you, Fern, and seis kam shalom, everybody. I'm sorry I got a rush. Nice having everybody. Okay, and let me end the recording. Let me end the recording, and I'll see what we're doing up here. Here. All right. One second. Why doesn't this thing respond to me? What am I doing wrong? Oh, here I go.